Right, Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Amen.
Before we think about those words, let's pray and ask for God's help this morning. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you so much that your word does speak to us today. Thank you that it's got amazing things to teach us. And we pray that this morning you would give all of us here ears to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, over the last few weeks as a church family, whether you are very small or very tall, we have been learning from the book of Ephesians. But I wonder if people in the room can remember what Ephesians is all about. I've got some clues to help us remember. Does anyone think they can remember things about Ephesians? What is it and what's it all about? Anyone work it out from the clues? Obviously too cryptic. I've gone for... It's a letter. Yes, that's right, Neil. See, it's as simple as that. This is like catchphrase. Say what you see. Say what you see, okay? Okay, so it is a letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to a church in a place called Ephesus. And what is it about? It is about Jesus. That is the correct answer. All of the Bible is about Jesus. So we're on pretty good, solid ground there. Anything more specific about Jesus? Joel. It's about God's plan. Yes, the clue worked. Okay, Ephesians is all about God's plan. God's plan to bring all things in heaven and on earth under the rule of Jesus, united under Jesus. And us as a church, we are supposed to be part of that plan too. We've been brought together to be part of the different mix of people from different places and different ages and different backgrounds, all with very different struggles, but all saved by grace. Now, Paul has taught us all about that stuff, about what it means to be saved, about who we are as a church. But now, in the second half of the letter, he's been talking all about what it looks like for us to behave as a church. Paul's teaching us about what does it look like to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. What does it look like to be holy and blameless in God's sight? And if you've been here, you've probably realized the way that we treat one another matters to God. We just sung earlier, didn't we? What was the words that we sang? Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate. God cares about how we treat one another. God cares about whether we are good friends or good family members. Now, if we are part of God's family this morning, we need to listen to what our Heavenly Father wants us to do and to be ready to do what he says. And so we're going to take a look this morning at some of the ways that God wants us to behave as part of his family. And there are four kinds of people that our passage talks about this morning. We're going to do this as a sort of talk of two halves, so you don't get too fed up with my voice. The first half will be about children and parents. And then the second half will be about slaves, by which Paul is talking about people who kind of work. I don't think any of us in the room this morning are slaves. And masters, people who are in charge of other people. So bosses and teachers and those kind of people. And so if you fit into any of those categories this morning, God's word has something to say to you. Let's start with the first one. Children, obey for Jesus. Paul has something to say here for anyone who is a child. And you might have noticed this morning, it's an all-age service, so the children are staying in. I thought it was quite important that the children hear the same thing as the adults hear, so that they know that God isn't telling them to do something that their parents don't know about. But equally, there's going to be things that God has to say to parents as well. And kids, you need to hear what I'm telling your parents, the Bible says as well. We need to learn this stuff together. And before we move on to it, the details of what Paul has to say here, it's really important that we recognize this bit of the Bible isn't just for children who are under 18. If you are a child with grown-up parents, and you are a grown-up, Paul is talking to you as well. Anyone who has living parents, you need to listen to this as well. And so what does Paul say? Verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When children are living under the same house as their parents, they are supposed to obey them. Now, because Paul knows he's talking to children, he knows what the next question's going to be. We had a text message from my sister-in-law the other day, showing what the first kind of next word that my niece had learned was. And do you know what it is? Why? Why? Kids, do you ever ask your parents that question? They ask you to do something and you say, why? Well, because Paul knows that he's talking to children, and the second that he says, children, obey your parents, what are they going to say?
Why?
Why? Great news. Paul gives us three reasons why. Not one, not two, but three reasons why. Now, around the room, there are some pieces of paper which are going to help us work out what those three reasons are. So have a look around. They might be near tinsely things. Three pieces of paper with pictures on. Chance for the kids to search and bring them here. Brilliant. You can bring it, Rosanna. Mo, I think there's another one over there, and there might be... Oh, no, not those ones. James has got one, but he might need someone to come and help him. That's not one of them. That was, no, thank you. Yeah, come to the front, Rosanna. Excellent. Okay, right. Just stand here so everyone can see. You can stand and hold them up, nice and big. If you come this side. Right, okay. Okay. Brilliant. So, what have you got on your picture?
A tick.
What have you got on your picture?
Stones with words.
Stones with words on. And what have you got on your picture?
A happy
face. Now, if you can't see at the back, it's okay. We've got them on the screen as well. Okay, a tick, two stones with writing on, and a happy face. I wonder what those things could be. Does anyone think they know? The Ten Commandments, that's brilliant. That is great. So we've got a tick, the Ten Commandments, and a happy face. These are the three reasons that Paul says children should obey their parents. Now, we need to think about this a bit more. Guys, why don't you sit down? Otherwise, you might get a bit tired holding those up. I've put them on screen. You can take those with you. A gift to remember this morning by. Okay, three clues, three things from this passage which tell us why we should obey. The first one is that it is right. Okay, so do the big tick in the air with me so you remember this. Because it's right. Tick. I didn't hear you say tick. Because it's right.
Tick.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. This is the way that God has made the world to work. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God has given us his instructions for families and how they're supposed to work. And so, children are supposed to listen when their parents say something, because God has put the parents in charge, not the children. Now, kids, this is a really important thing for you to listen to. Does that mean you are supposed to boss around your mum and dad and tell them what to do? No. I heard someone say yes, but the answer is no. That is not God's pattern for families. I'm sure there are no children in this room who ever try and boss their parents around. But remember, God has said the way that families are supposed to work is that the grown-ups are in charge and you're not. Okay? Parents have been given a job by God. They're put in charge to love you and care for you and protect you. They deserve your respect because it's right. Okay, some people are awake. Just checking. Now, this reason alone might not be enough to convince you. Because it's a bit like saying, well, why should we obey our parents? Because you should. That's a bit what it's like, isn't it? So, it's a good job there's another reason. So we had the tick, we had the Ten Commandments. It's God's command. Look at verse 2 if you've got your Bibles in front of you, Sue. See it still? Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. It is God's command that we obey our parents. Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments. 10 special instructions that God gives his people how to live as his rescued, saved people. Exactly who we are if we are Christians. God's saved people. God has rescued us by Jesus, and now he's telling us how to live. And God says, this is the way that you should live. This is what it looks like to be my people. Honour your father and mother. Now, when you listen to that Ten Commandments command, that shows us that obeying our parents isn't just about what we do, it's about what's going on inside as well. Our attitude in our head and our hearts towards our parents. It's not just that we do what they say, but we respect them and honour them, treat them the right way. Now imagine for a second, I'm sure this never happens in your house, but your parents say to you, go and tidy your room. And you say, all right then, I'll go and tidy my room, but I really don't want to. Does anyone ever do that? Is that honouring your parents to be in a big huff about doing it? Or what about if your parents say, can you take your dishes out? It's time to switch off your devices, no more TV, go do the washing up. And you go, I hate you! Oh, I'll do it anyway. Is that honouring your parents? No. No, it's not. You see, we laugh about it, but we all know we kind of do it sometimes, don't we? Our parents ask us to do something and we don't really honour them. We don't really respect them. We do it because we have to and we hate it. That's not the way God wants us to work. His Ten Commandments teach us it's God's law, it's God's command. We need to make sure we don't just listen to what they say, but we have the right attitude. Our hearts need to be in the right place. We are to obey because God commands us. But there's one more reason. Remember the happy face. It wasn't just because God says so. There is something else. It's good for you to obey your parents. Can you believe that, kids? It is good for you to obey your parents. That's a big surprise. We really don't expect God to say that. But God knows that we all like to choose things that make us happy. And so God has made a promise. Look down at your Bibles again. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. God knows that he has made a promise that if we live his way, then things will generally go well for us. Our lives will be better if we listen to God's instructions for how to live. Now, I need to be very clear this morning. God is not saying if you obey your parents, everything is going to be perfect in your life and it's always going to be good and happy and nothing will ever go wrong. Okay, that's not what God is promising. But he is saying, if we live life according to his instructions, life will work like it is supposed to. We're going to have a better life living God's way than if we ignore what God has to say. So, we need to remember, God's given us, our parents, a special job to love, to care for us, to bring us up to be followers of Jesus. And we need to let our parents do their job properly. We'll be happier if we let our parents do the right thing. If they are in charge, it's not our job to choose which of their instructions we listen to and which ones we ignore. Now, kids, I need you to think about that a little bit while I talk to the grown-up children here, because some of you kids, you're thinking about like doing the washing up and tidying your room and those kind of things. But grown-up children, it's a little bit different for you, isn't it? Because we understand how young children are supposed to follow the rules and obey their parents. they're living in their house. It's my house, my rules, isn't it, parents? But it's a bit trickier for those of us who have older parents. How do we obey them? How do we honour them when we've grown up and left home? When we leave home, our relationship to our parents changes, doesn't it? They no longer have the same authority over us because we don't live under their roof. We're not expected to obey in quite the same way. What does it mean to be a grown-up child obeying and honouring your parents? The command still matters. Jesus, when he's teaching about the Ten Commandments and he speaks about honouring your mother and father, he applies it to things like caring for frail or unwell parents, making sure they are looked after in their old age. And so perhaps if you are a grown-up child this morning, you need to make sure that you're looking after your parents, caring for them, especially when they cannot care for themselves. It's not somebody else's job to do that. It's your job as their children. That's what it looks like to honour them. It might mean sitting and listening to their views and opinions on things that you don't agree and listening to stories that they've told you 10 times before and respecting what they have to say rather than losing your temper with them and getting frustrated that they're getting forgetful in their old age. That's a way that we can honour our parents. It could mean making an effort to include them in family life, perhaps by visiting them regularly or phoning them up through the week. All kinds of things that we can do as grown-up children to make sure that we are honouring our parents too. So, whether we are little children or big children, we need to listen to God. Okay, there's something else for us to do. And parents, you're sitting back thinking, this is great. The Bible's just told my kids that they need to obey. I'm in for a cracking time this afternoon. We're going to have a lovely family time. But parents, before you get too comfy, your kids need you to know there's something else that you have to do. You see, what does God have to say? Verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, you might be wondering here, why does Paul only talk to fathers? In this little section of Ephesians, Paul is talking to households, people who live under the same roof. And he's got instructions for the head of the household, the man who is the husband and the dad and the master over the slaves. Okay, he addresses them and gives them all their responsibilities. It's not that he doesn't think mums have got an important job to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't have just said, obey your parents or honour your mother and father. But dads in the room, you have an especially important role to play, making sure your children are brought up the right way. So, whether your family has two parents or one parent or a mix and some extra parents as well, these instructions are still for all of us because they tell our parents something they shouldn't do and something they should do if they are going to teach for Jesus. The first thing is that they are to not exasperate their children. That's quite a big word. It's one we probably don't use all the time. And I thought, rather than me explain it, I'll see whether you guys can work it out. Okay, so we're going to play a game of Call My Bluff. Very simple. I'm going to give you 4 definitions of the word exasperate, and you just have to put your hand up if you think it's the right definition. I'll run you through all 4 before we start putting our hands up. I don't want anyone to be influenced by other people around them. Okay? Exasperate. Does it mean to remove the outer layers of your skin? Exasperate. Does that mean to release someone from captivity, to set them free? Exasperate. Does it mean to make someone really angry? Or exasperate. Does it mean to make someone feel very, very tired? So, hands up if you think exasperate means remove the outer layers of your skin. No one. I'm very surprised. Hands up if you think exasperate means to release someone from captivity. Hands up if you think it means make someone very angry. And hands up if you think it means to make someone very tired. Well, let me tell you. The correct answer is to make someone very angry. Removing the outer layers of skin, that's exfoliating. Releasing someone from captivity, that's to extricate them. And to make someone feel very tired, that's exhaust them. I'm sure kids do that to parents all the time. Now, I think God is pretty clever because he knows full well that parents generally, and dads especially, seem to wind up their kids a bit and make them cross. But that's not what God wants you to do if you are a parent. In fact, acting in a way that makes our children cross only makes it harder for them to obey us like they should. It's a parenting fail. Let's try and get a bit practical about what this is going to look like for you parents. It might mean when we make unreasonable demands of our children, asking them to do things that really we should be doing as parents. It could be when we tell them to do something and we refuse to explain why we've said that's what they've got to do. It could be when we say something, but it's something that somebody else has said they can do and we say they can't do it and we're inconsistent as parents. All of these things will make our children very cross. And it's wrong that we make our children cross. Now, none of us in this room are perfect parents, you'll be relieved to hear. None of us get it right all the time. And probably at times we have made a mess of being parents. We've upset our children and made them cross. Today is a chance for us to recognise our mistakes and to say sorry for the times that we have exasperated our children. Show your children what repentance looks like. Be willing to say sorry if you've made a mistake. If we are going to be the wise parents that God wants us to be, we mustn't exasperate our children. Now, that's the kind of negative side of it for parents. But there is a positive side of it as well. And I've got a couple of pictures that will help us with that. Do teach about the Lord. Remember verse 4. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Paul says that parents, and dads especially, have a really important job to do. They are given responsibility for teaching their children about Jesus in the hope that they might grow up to follow him. Now, training and instruction, these two words are kind of shown in that picture there. So training, you know, learning what to do, and instruction is learning what to think. Two things that go together to be a follower of Jesus. Now, if you are a parent, this should be your number one concern for your kids, whether one day they will grow up to be a follower of Jesus too. Parents, you should care about this more than whether your kids are good at sports or whether they get into a good school, whether they get good grades in their GCSEs. It should matter more to you than whether they are well paid in whatever jobs they do in their future careers. It should matter to you more than whether your children get married and have children of their own. It matters to us most of all that our kids are brought up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, obviously, one of the reasons we come to church is to learn what it is to be a follower of Jesus. But Paul reminds us here that it's not just church's job to raise your children to know Jesus. Explorers and Slaybrook Youth are great, but an hour or two a week isn't enough to help our kids follow Jesus. Kids are being bombarded with messages all the time about the world and how to live in it. If you are just expecting the church to tell your kids about being a follower of Jesus, well, just remember they're at school however many hours a day, and they're on their phones and tablets watching stuff millions of times a day. Strangers on the internet, friends, teachers, they are all teaching your kids what the world is and how to live in it. If you as a parent aren't giving your kids training and instruction in the Lord, you can be sure that someone else is, and you might be uncomfortable with the things that they're saying. We need to realise how important our spiritual input as families is, or how significant our lack of teaching and instruction is. So, how can we make sure that training and instruction are part of what we do as parents? Well, we need to think about whether we are reading the Bible and praying together as families. Are we looking for ways to talk about Jesus in everyday life as we walk along the road, as we get ready for bed? Are we modelling to our children what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus in the home? These are ways that our kids will learn. Now, if this hasn't been a habit for you in your family, don't despair. The reason that Paul teaches it is so that we would learn. It's never too late to start. There are lots of resources out there that can help you making Jesus part of your family life. Bible reading notes and books and things online and apps and all kinds of stuff. Find a pattern that works for your family and stick to it. We as a church need to show our kids that Jesus is for life, not just for Christmas or not just for Sundays. So that's something we need to take on board and learn from. Okay, you've had enough of me for just a moment. It's time for us to break back into our little groups and have a bit of talk time. Are we living God's way in our families as parents and children? Do we need to say sorry to each other? And do we need to ask for God's help? I'm going to give you a few minutes to do that, and then we're going to sing a song before we look at the last part of the passage. But let's have a little chat in our groups together. Hopefully that's been a useful time for you as a family. But perhaps this is something that you'll carry on having a conversation about later on or over lunch. Whether you are a grown-up parent or a younger parent, or if you're a grown-up child or a younger child, these are things for us to learn from. We're going to sing as part of... Now, you're probably thinking, Stewie, you've taken a long time talking about those first four verses. How can we possibly get through the rest of it in the rest of the service? Well, we're going to try. We're going to go at breakneck speed. But I think it's important for us to look at all of these things, because Paul doesn't just want us to think about Jesus when we're at home. He also wants us to be thinking about Jesus through the week. And that means when you're working. You see, we said earlier, didn't we? Slaves, the people that Paul addresses earlier, in Paul's day, most of the people who worked in hard jobs were slaves. Their boss was in charge of them, their master, and he told them what to do. A bit like how parents tell children what to do. Now, can you think of children, if you're thinking, can you think of any situations where somebody else who's not your parents gets to tell you what to do? Can you think of some times? Joel, can you think of some times? Your teacher at school? Yeah, your teachers are allowed to tell you what to do, aren't they? They say, do some homework, and you've got to do some homework. You got another one? Grandparents? Yes, okay. So in the family a little bit more widely, yeah? Any other places where somebody can tell you what to do? Got another one over? Yeah? Sunday school. Great news, teachers. If you're an explorers, you get to tell the kids what to do there as well. Brilliant. What last one? Football coach. Yes, or the referee as well. Okay. There are situations in life where people are in charge and they get to tell us what to do. Now, whether you're at school and your teachers are in charge of you, or you're at work and your boss is in charge of you, or your line manager, or whoever it is, we all have situations where we're serving other people. And we might not be slaves, but we do need to listen to what Jesus has to teach us. Verse 5. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Paul says that Christians, when we are given instructions by a person who is in charge of us, we shouldn't be thinking about working for them. We should be thinking about working for Jesus. Now, I've got a way of illustrating that for us, and I might need some help, and hopefully the visuals are going to hold you through this morning. In my bag, I have some... Now, Pippi, can you come and help me? Can you come and hold one of my toys? Well, not mine, Zoe's actually. Okay, there you go. Pippi is not... She's not really a slave, but she's... She's taking the place of a worker today, and she feels a little bit small because who's going to come next and be slightly bigger? Yeah, Rosanna, can you come? Thank you. Now, Rosanna, she's a little bit bigger, as you can see. And so when Rosanna is stood next to Pippi, who's the slave or the worker, is it easy to tell who's in charge? Yeah, one is a bit bigger than the other. And it's easy to think, well, you know, I've got to work for them because they're in charge. But Neil?
No.
When we put Neil alongside them, who's really in charge here? Yeah. I've got another picture to help us see that. Okay. Some of you will be a bit familiar with this. Okay, if you're Pippi, if you're Susanna here, and you are thinking, oh, I've got to work for my boss, and it's such hard work. When Susanna looks up at who her boss really is, who does she see? The great big boss. Okay? Neil's the one that's really in charge. So even if she's got a horrible boss at work or a horrible teacher at school who's really mean and nasty to her, who is she really working for? The big boss. Okay, now this isn't really about people or toys or Monty Python sketches. This is about how we work for Jesus. And so if you are a Christian living God's way, you need to remember the person that you are working for, the person you are obeying for, isn't your boss, it isn't your teacher, it's Jesus. We need to put him first. We need to show him the respect, we need to show our boss the respect and honor that we would show to Jesus. Now that doesn't mean that Paul's saying bow down and worship them and sing songs of praise to them. But it does mean that we'll always try and work in the right way. Listen to what Paul says. Obey them, not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Okay? Many people will obey their boss when they know their boss is watching them, won't they? You'll do your work when the teacher's looking, and then when the teacher turns their back, you'll kind of play around and mess around and not really do what you're supposed to do. And then the teacher turns around again, and you pretend to do your work again. Or if you're on online working from home, and you'll keep the mouse moving so that the tracker shows that you're active on your computer, because you have to be seen to be doing the work, but you're not really doing anything you're supposed to be doing. No, if we are working for Jesus, then it means we work hard, and we do it even when our boss isn't watching. We need to go further than people in this world. Now, Paul says something here that's a bit of a surprise. Verse 8. Because you know the Lord will reward each of you, whatever you do, whether you are slave or free. When we work, when we as workers work for our bosses here on earth, well, Jesus rewards us when we do a good job. It will be good for us. It's the same as why we should obey our parents, because God says it's good for us to do it that way. Jesus is ready to reward all those who work hard for him. Now, I said that wasn't the only one. We're going to do masters as well, but I'll keep my visual illustration here because, well, actually, this is going to help us with the next bit as well. You see, it's not the end of the story. Some people don't have a boss. They are the boss. So Rosanna here is now our focus of attention. Think about Rosanna. She's the boss. Now, when Rosanna looks at Susanna, it would be easy for her to think, I'm in charge. I'm big. I'm important. I'm the one who matters the most. And there is even a chance that as the boss, Rosanna could be mean to her worker, to the person she's telling what to do. That is not what God wants. Listen to what Paul has to say. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. There is no favoritism with him. Bosses like to think they're in charge, but Paul tells us we can't be bullies. We can't be mean to people to make them do what we want to. Because just as Rosanna is looking down at Susanna, when they both turn around, who do they see? The person who's really in charge, okay? And that's true for all of us. If you are the boss of someone and you're telling them what to do, you need to remember you've got a boss in heaven who is always watching and who always knows what's right for you to do. Don't forget when you're looking down at someone who's underneath you that you're both underneath Jesus. And he wants us to live his way. Jesus has given some people the responsibility to be in charge of other people. That's okay. It's not wrong for there to be people who are bosses and people who do what they're told. But we can't pretend that we are the big boss when Jesus is the big boss. We can't pretend that it's okay to be mean to the people that we're responsible for. Because one day, Jesus is going to ask us what we've done with the authority that he gave us. If he put us in charge of someone else, he's going to say, well, how did you do it? Did you do it my way? Did you take care of the people you were telling what to do? Or did you use them to make you feel good? To make you feel powerful. Jesus will ask us whether we did it his way. And that's a challenging thing to think, isn't it? Some of us need to think about whether we are making it easy for our employees in the workplace to obey us and do what we say. Or are we actually making it really hard for them to respect us? If we have a reputation for being a fair boss and an honest boss and a kind boss, it is far easier for someone to wholeheartedly obey you. Even if they don't always agree with your choices, we need to make sure that we try and lead people in a distinctively Christian way if you are a boss in any kind of setting in life. So, thank you guys for your help. Can I have my cuddly things back? Or Zoe's cuddly things? Thank you. Give him a clap. I said we were going to zip through, and we have. But whether you are a child or a parent or a worker or a master, Paul has given us some big challenges today. We know that we can't live this way by ourselves. We've been saved by the blood of Jesus. We've been forgiven for all our sins. Now we have to live the life that he has called us to, and we need his help to do that. We'll find out more about that next week. But we can ask God to help us now. Perhaps there's something that in your family you've been challenged about that you need to change. Let's pray and ask for God's help. Let's come to him now. Heavenly Father, thank you that you show us the right way to live as your people. Thank you that you help us to live the right way at home and at school, at work, in family life, in every day of our lives. We want to pray that you would help us as children, as parents, as workers, as bosses, to live the way that you have taught us. Teach us to care for one another, to listen to one another, to respect one another. By your Spirit's power and for your glory we pray. Amen.